Amen. Just saying to Pastor Simon Asante. God is good. All the time. Now, Your Excellency, we are excited. Thank you for that, sharing that story. And you're welcome. Shall we stand as we read the scriptures? Genesis 28, verse 10 to 17. And by the way, Your Excellency, we at a spiritual level, we cross-pollinate a lot with Ghana, especially as we listen to people like Archbishop William Duncan Williams and Bishop Hewitt Mills. And so we coordinate those spiritual frequencies quite a bit, and we celebrate what God is doing. Genesis 28, 10 to 17, the Bible says, Jacob left Beersheba. But there's some of these names sometimes can take you in circles. But that word, Beersheba, are two words. Beersheba. Bear means a well. Sheba means seven. In Swahili, we say Saba. Hallelujah. So it is the seventh well. So there's a well, the seventh well that was dug. It's called Beersheba. So that is the place, that's a spot. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is God's word, and God's people say, amen. We may be seated in God's presence. Shall we pray? Father, what a blessing as we prepare to receive your word. We thank you because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, take this word as we engage this new month, and as we talk about empowered thought, activated ideas, I believe that God, you want to do something special, something new. As we enter a new month, you're also doing a new thing in our midst. And just like you're also doing a new thing for Ghana as they celebrate their 66th anniversary, we celebrate with them and we say thank you. Dear Master, may your word find a place in our heart because we have prayed in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. This month, we've been talking and we will be talking about empowered thought. For those who have been here, you know that the arcing theme for the year is the year of the Lord's empowered world changers. In January, we talked about Abraham. In February, we talked about Isaac. And in March, we are talking about Jacob. Because we believe the foundation of world change is God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And when we are talking about Abraham, we talked about empowered vision. When we talked about Isaac, we talked about empowered seed. And now when we talk about Jacob, we are talking about empowered thought. I want you to know that your thought and your thinking is very key. Your thought affects your beliefs. Your beliefs inform the way you speak. Your speech begins to inform your actions. Your actions inform your habits, and your habits inform your lifestyle. Hallelujah. And it all begins with thought. Your thinking is important. We were created with a thinking capacity. Hallelujah. We are not just emotional beings. We are all people who think. We think. And what you think is important. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we talk about empowered thought, and today we're talking about empowered thought unleashed, especially as we think about Jacob, we want to believe that God will give us his thoughts. Let me read Isaiah chapter 55. The Bible says this about in verse 7, and about how we need to change our thoughts and begin to think God's thoughts. The Bible says this: let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous, what? Their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my what? My word. Because your thoughts begin to inform your words. Hallelujah. And then it says, my word that goes out will not come back to me empty. Jacob was a twin brother to Esau. And Jacob was so active because I believe Pastor Simon, when he was in his mother's womb, he started thinking. He started thinking. He thought and said, look, we are twins, but I'm going to come out first. Hello? But Esau kind of went fast, but Jacob got a hold of his heel and came out with him. And he started thinking from day one. So much later, when he heard that Esau was going to get the blessing, he said, I'm going to get this thing before he gets it. And for sure, he got a blessing. Another name for Jacob is con man. In other words, he would find his way out no matter what happened. And because he was a thinker, he thought a lot. And sometimes he thought faster than God was thinking. And that is why sometimes we don't need to think faster than God. We need to wait for his thoughts. Bana sifiwe. You have heard me say before that in this world, and some people say that, 2% of people in this world think. They actively think. They are thinkers. They think creatively. Then 2% of those people think they are thinking. 3% think they are thinking. But what they are doing is that they are just rearranging their ignorance in their heads. And they think they are thinking. Now, that is 2%, 3%. Now, how much percent is that? 5%. The other percent is what? Now, 95% of people would rather die than think. These are the people who say, if you have read it for us, we are good to go. But I don't think we should take that stance, because let me tell you this. It is important that we think. Otherwise, we end up finding that the 2% who think make things happen, and the 95% of the people left pay for it. No wonder the 2% are so rich, because the 95% are paying for their thinking. And I want to say that in Jesus' name, that in Africa, we are thinkers. We are amazing thinkers. Books are written, we need to read them. Hallelujah. Because we need to find out, and part of thinking is asking questions. Where you ask, why this, why that? Why can't it be done this way? Because you think. Jesus Christ had thinkers in his team of disciples. Some of them were quite emotional. Peter was one of the emotional ones who did not think before he did anything. Remember one time he jumped into the waters before he thought what was happening. But he had thinkers. And these were good thinkers. One of them was, by the way, Pastor Simon, was Thomas. People say he was a doubter, but he was a thinker. He thought a lot. He said, you people, that you said Jesus did what? That he rose from the dead. Are you sure he rose from the dead? He said, listen to me. Unless I see. Unless I touch. Jesus likes those kinds of people. And so on the eighth day, when Jesus reappeared to the disciples, he speaks to Thomas and he says, Thomas, come. Touch me. Put your hands through these holes. Now, none of the other disciples had the experience of putting their fingers through that hole. Only Thomas did, because he was a thinker. The other guy who was a thinker was Philip. Let me show you what he said. John chapter 14. The Bible says this. Jesus is giving kind of his last speech before he goes to his death. And he says this. And Jesus is just giving a very nice lecture. And he thinks that these guys really know what he's talking about. They're just about to graduate. 3 years. Can you imagine? Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, 3 years is a long time to be with Jesus. Listen to what he says. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And then he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then Jesus said this, you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas, the guy I was talking to you about, he lifts up his hand and says, excuse me, sir. Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Thank God that Thomas asked that question, because verse 6 would never have been in the scriptures. Verse 6 is the one we know. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If Thomas had not asked that question, that verse would be deleted from the Bible. Now listen to the next verse. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip, the other thinker, says, excuse me. Lord, show us the Father. Don't go in circles. Just show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has also seen the Father. So look at your neighbor briefly and just see, just don't ask them anything. Just see if they are thinkers. Find out if there is a Thomas in them and if there is a Philip in them. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this, everything in this world is based on thinking. And I'm telling you, God wants us to think. He says, I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. I want my ways to be your ways. And so when God was preparing Jacob, Jacob was affected in three dimensions in terms of his thinking. So these are the three things, and that will summarize what I want to say this morning. Number one, he was affected by the blessed thought. Number two, he was blessed by the visionary thought. And number three, he was blessed by the anointed thought. Let me say that again. There was the blessed thought, the visionary thought, and thirdly, the anointed thought. The blessed thought came from his father. And let me tell you this, thoughts come from different dimensions. And sometimes some of the things our parents tell us affect how we go through life in the years to come. And so the father said something to Jacob. At that particular time, Jacob, he had already blessed Jacob. Esau was upset, he wanted to kill Jacob, and Isaac said something to Jacob. So let me read those verses, Genesis 28, verse 3 and 4. This is what he said. He spoke his thoughts, and he said this to Jacob. He said, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Isaac speaks the blessing. And that blessing and that thought entered Jacob's mind, and it was going to help him through the journey as he ran to his uncle's place. And I want to say this. We need to seek blessed thoughts. Through the books we read, through listening to people who speak to us, not just positively, but in a blessed way. Not just making us happy, but releasing certain thoughts in our lives that are going to establish us in the directions we are going to take. What fathers say is very important and critical to their children. And you have heard me say, one of the thoughts my father said to me nearly devastated my life and took me on a tangent that I was going to be lost forever. Of course, my dad came from that area of fathers who are always upset with their children. Hello? All the time. I'm the firstborn, and my father thought very highly about me, and he wanted me to do things perfectly. So there was this one day, I did something and he didn't do it very well. So he comes home, he's upset, and before I could even think about what he was about to do, he slapped me. While I was recovering from that slap and seeing stars. Have you ever been slapped and you see stars around you? And not only stars, you hear an ambulance passing by. In that moment, my dad looks at me and he says, Ambrose, you are hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. I have never seen such a hopeless person like you. Now, those words were not just words. They sunk into my psyche, entered my spirit, and crippled my systems. I didn't know that's what was happening, but that's what happened. Now, of course, my father said those words, and he went on to do his other things, but he didn't know that he had left a thought in my life that was going to limit me for quite some time. And I struggled with those words, because after that, all I had in my head was, Ambrose, you're what? Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. And it was now a song, because it now started like a rap. Ambrose, you're hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. I've never seen such a hopeless person like you. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Can you imagine? Just go those things going through your head. But it's a thought that was planted, and it was not a blessed thought. And I tried to come out of it, and I was struggling with it. Every time I would do an exam and I would fail, I would say, by the way, don't you see that you are actually hopeless. And so, that's a struggle. It took God to re-engage that sister, because God had to speak a blessed word in my life. And this is the word he used, Isaiah 43, verse 4. This is what God now said to me, to cancel what my father had said. And he said this. Let me read it in the New King James Version. And I picked these scriptures, and that is the thought that changed my life. It says, since you were precious in my sight, and you have been honored, and I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you. Now, in that verse, I picked those three things. And God was saying, Ambrose, you are precious. Hallelujah. And I said, me precious. God says, yeah, you're precious. And God says, you're honored. And then he said, I love you. Did you know that I started replaying those words over and over in my mind? And I'm telling you, those are the words that brought back life into my system. And that is why when we come to church, the word of God is key. The Bible says that you shall meditate on this word day and night. Why? Because you're trying to engage the blessed thought of God's word in your life so that you can have empowered thoughts to live an empowered life. Like I said earlier, your thoughts begin to engage your beliefs. Your beliefs begin to engage what you say. What you say engages what you do. What you do begins to develop into your habit. Your habits become your lifestyle. And it all begins with how you think. Hallelujah. Another thought that used to come into my mind is this thought of not having. I don't have. And my father used to say that all the time. He would, if I asked him for bus fare, he said, in Kiswahili we say, sina. Sina. My mom would ask for money for food. My dad would say, sina. So I had that word, sina, for a long time. Now, I didn't know that that thought also entered my mind until I got married myself. Thank you, Jesus. And one day, Martha asks me something. And without thinking, I said, sinner. Then I said, where have I heard that before? And I remember this is what my dad used to say. And I told myself that the next time Martha asks me for anything, I will not say sinner. I will say, I'm going to look for it. I may not have it right now, but I'm going to get it. And I began to change and shift my thinking, because sometimes thoughts that are not right can cripple your sister. The Bible says this, blessed thoughts. It says this in Psalms 103, verse 1. These are the blessed thoughts. He says this. This is what God thinks about you. Let me read that in the New King James, please. It says this, blessed thoughts. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Guess what? He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. Then he says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God thinks amazing things about us. Let me read Psalms 139. The Bible says this in verse 14. Psalms 139, verse 14, talking about what God does about us. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Keep going. It says in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me. God thinks good things about you. God is not about to kill you. God is not there to condemn you. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is thinking good things about me. You're precious, you're honored, and God loves you. Hallelujah. When you begin to think like that, you get empowered thoughts. The Bible says this in Philippians 4, verse 8, the things you should think about very quickly. It says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. Hallelujah. And Jacob needed that. Because let me tell you, Pastor Simon, Jacob was going to be shortchanged by Laban. He was going to deal with trying to get a wife. Took 14 years to make that happen. Jacob shortchanged him business-wise. And he needed the thought that God said, I will bless you. I will give you these lands. So no matter what happens, just know I will bless you. So there was a blessed thought. But let me quickly just come to the next one. The visionary thought, because those two are connected. So there was a visionary thought. The blessed thought comes from his dad. And the dad blessed him and said, I'll do these things. But there's a visionary thought. This is now God speaking to Jacob. Genesis 28, verse 12. Jacob is lying down, sleeping, and he has a vision. The Bible says, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, now this is now God speaking. Previously, it's the Father who spoke. Now God is speaking to affirm what the Father said. And he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Can you imagine those words? That's what I call a visionary thought. In the vision, Jacob sees this God, and he sees God in the highest place and angels ascending and descending. Hallelujah. In other words, Pastor Simon, he had access to an open heaven. I want to tell you this. You have access to the open heavens. I'm saying you have access to the open heavens. Hallelujah. Don't ever feel that you are stuck. Don't ever feel that you have reached your limit. Don't ever feel that you have no options. There's an open heaven. And angels are ascending and descending. And by the way, if angels are ascending and descending, where is their point of departure? Where are they starting to move from? Let me ask again. When angels are ascending and descending, where are they starting their journey from? From here. So there are no angels coming from heaven to you. Angels are already here. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So you have angels. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits for you. They want to minister for you, for you, for you. They are waiting for instruction. They are waiting for you to say something so that they can take it to heaven. One of the things they will not take to heaven is complaints. They will not take your worries. But when you start thanking God, the Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. So when you start celebrating God, when you start celebrating the things God has given you, when you start giving thanks, angels wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. and they move on your behalf. Hallelujah. There was one time two angels were assigned to go to visit somebody in Westlands. Hallelujah. They were in Westlands. The two angels were assigned. They came to Westlands and they entered into this house. The two of them, the one went into the neighbor's house, the other one went to another neighbor's house. Now, when one went to a neighbor's house, they found the neighbor was watching TV. And the angel decided that he was going to just sit there and watch TV. And then suddenly, this angel could not watch TV because prayer requests started coming. And this angel took off to heaven. Went, come back. Prayer request. You know, then this other angel was also watching TV. But then the person who was in that house was giving praises and thanksgiving and celebration. And this angel, the other one who was going prayer request, would go and not come back. But this other angel went to heaven. This man was not asking for anything. But this man had desires and requests that were really pressing on him. But he never talked about them. But he was just saying, how good to be in such a nice place. How good to have nice children running around. And the angel would go to heaven and tell the father, the person you assigned me to, he's just so grateful, he's so thankful, and the father would ask, what do they need? Right now, they're not even saying their needs, and the father said, I know what their needs are. Now, here are packages that I want you to take to them, because even though they're not asking what they need, I've already heard what they need. I have received their thanksgiving, and because of that, a door has been opened. May God hear your thanksgiving. May God hear your praises. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. You have access to heaven. Jacob had access, and I'm telling you, he was going to go through a very rough road. But guess what? God had said, I'm going to be with you all the way and bring you back to this place. God thinks precious things about you. Right now, he's not thinking about how he's going to kill you. Hello? He's not thinking about the things he's going to deprive from you. The Bible says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. But let me give you the last thought. This is the anointed thought. Tell your neighbor it is an anointed thought. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. The Bible says this. Jacob woke up, and then it says this. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured what? Oil on it, on top of it. And then he called the name of that place Bethel, the house of God. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me. Now, that's how his thought showed up. I'm just using the anointing oil on the rock. It woke him up. That anointing woke him up, gave him a thought that came from inside him. The blessed thought came from his father. The visionary thought came from God. This anointed thought came from inside him because of the anointing. He says, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. You know what he's saying? If just God gives me the necessities of life, hallelujah. If he does that, I'm good to go. And then says, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So that, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give what? A tenth. That's where the tithe issue started from. Hallelujah. Let me read this verse for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says this. Tell your neighbor the anointing is important. It says, but you have what? What do you have? You have an anointing from who? From the Holy One. And what do you know? I like that. Anointing makes you know things. You know, sometimes we look for people who are anointed to tell us things. Let me tell you this. If they can be anointed, so are you. If they can know things, so can you. You can know things before you go very far. So he says, yeah, give me that verse again as I finish. He says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. All right? Now go to verse 27, the same chapter. He says this, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, including your business interactions, hallelujah, including your career, including how to handle your family, including your education, the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Where do we get empowered thoughts? From those who speak to us, our fathers, our mothers, those who mentor us. We get the anointing from God himself. We get empowered thoughts from God himself. And then we get thoughts that the anointing teaches us. The Bible says, by wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, its rooms are filled with precious treasures. This month, you have access to empowered thoughts. May you catch them. May you catch them. I'm saying, may you catch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand on your feet. Tell your neighbor, I am blessed. Tell your neighbor, I have a blessed thought. I have a visionary thought. And I have an anointed thought. Tell your neighbor, I'm blessed, I'm visionary, I'm anointed. Yeah, even if your husband is not agreeing, just say, tell them, I'm blessed, I am visionary, I am anointed. I have empowered thoughts in Jesus' name. Now give God a big hand. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, we shared about the activated prayer pack, and the prayer pack is still available. Please, at the tables as you go out, they're available at our bookshop. But I want to tell you this, this month, we are going to talk about empowered thoughts. And this month, God is going to give you ideas that are going to take you to the next level of your life. His thoughts are going to become your thoughts. Amen. His thoughts are going to become your thoughts. And we want to celebrate Ghana, and we want to say, may God take Ghana to the next level. Amen. May God take Ghana to the next level. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And those Ghanaian soccer team, may they also come and play with Harambee Stars. Who do you think will win? don't say. Bwana asifiwe. But we thank God for Ghana. Let's celebrate and appreciate Ghana as they celebrate. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We celebrate your love for us, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. That, Father, as we begin this month of March, as we march into our miracles, Lord, we believe we're going to see a great season, a great opportunity, a great time. Oh, God, help us know what to think about. May your word guide us in the thoughts that we have, because our thoughts begin to shape our beliefs. Our beliefs begin to be spoken with our mouths. What we say makes us become action-oriented, and what we do forms our habits. Our habits end up to become our lifestyle. So, Lord, may we start with the right thoughts. May we start with empowered thoughts. And Lord, may you be glorified, especially because your word has been given to us to feed our spirits, to feed our minds, so that we can end up with a lifestyle of righteousness, a lifestyle that honors and brings glory to your holy name. So Jehovah, as we prepare to leave, I want to speak your blessing upon each one of us, because God, this month is going to be a breakthrough month for each one of us, that God, you're going to supply all our need according to your riches and glory. And dear Lord, we also pray for Ghana, like Pastor Simon did earlier. And we want to celebrate even the commissioner who is here and his entire team. And we say to God be the glory. Use him even as he serves his country right here in our country. And Lord, we pray that their celebration tomorrow will honor and bring glory to your holy name. And so, Lord, as I bless your people and as you lift up your hands this morning, I declare to you today, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord do you good in the month of March. May the Lord do you good in the month of March. May the Lord journey with you and walk with you each day of this month. May the Lord favor you and open doors for you that no man can shut. Your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. And Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony, all to the glory of Jesus' name. I bless you. I bless you indeed. And so I decree this blessing upon you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say, amen. Come on, let's give God another big hand. Amen. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, surely goodness.